You're listening to Civic Media. You can tune into any of our live shows on any radio station across the state with the Civic Media app. Find us in your phone's app store and listen anytime, anywhere.
Good morning. Welcome to Matt Nair on Air. Jane Matt Nair, Greg Buck, and Calvin Butenoff coming to you live from our studio here at Radio Park in Racine. Join us, call or text. The number is the same, 855-752-4842. You can leave a comment if you're watching on the live stream on Facebook, YouTube, and what used to be Twitter. It is Friday. That means Dan Schaefer, Civic Media's political editor and the creator of the multi award-winning Recombobulationary at 19.
Multi-award-winning just this year alone.
It's crazy.
I know.
It's crazy, and I think they're up for, we'll talk to him about it when he gets here, because I think they're up for even more from the Milwaukee Press Club, but that's quite an accomplishment.
I agree.
And Angela Lang, part of that, she's been on our show too, so if you do not yet, I would really encourage you to subscribe.
Yeah.
To the Recombobulation area.
It's a total deal.
It's a great deal, and the work that they do is not only award-winning, but really specific to Wisconsin. Yeah. And it's just, there's just so much information there. That's not something that you're going to regret.
The election guide alone.
Yes. Is worth the price of this subscription. Yeah. It really is. So Dan Schaefer will be here next hour right after the 10 o'clock news. We'll wrap up the show as we always do with This Shouldn't Be a Thing. Mm-hmm. Today it's the In a Wild Crocodile Edition. My husband found this one.
Yeah.
So thank you, sweetheart. If you ever have a thing, we got a couple of suggestions. If you ever have a thing you think should not be, send it in to Greg and me at janesays@civicmedia.us. This was breaking just as we were coming on the air. Employers added 177,000 jobs in April, slightly down from 185,000 in March. The employment rate unchanged at 4.2%. This is good news for the economy. By the way, though, apparently it's Biden's economy.
Yeah, congratulations to Joe Biden. I mean, still making waves, even though you're not in office. Good job.
Yeah, it was just Monday or Tuesday that President Trump said that this is the Biden economy.
Yep.
And the next quarter is probably going to be the Biden economy, too.
It's going to be the Biden economy until things aren't terrible anymore, Jane.
Exactly. But this was good news.
Yes.
This morning, the hiring numbers for April at 177,000, down a little bit from the month before. Also, it's underway.
Oh, boy.
Are you as excited as I am?
I don't think that's possible, but I'm pretty excited, Jane. What has just happened in the past
voting
8 minutes?
Voting has begun for Wisconsin Fat Bird Week. It's underway right now.
Hey, folks, you like a chunky bird?
I would highly encourage you to go to civicmedia.us. If you go to shows, click on Matt Nair on Air. Yesterday's show will have the link.
No, 2 days ago.
2 days ago.
And it's called This Hour is for the Birds.
It's WisconsinConservation.org Fat Bird Week, where you can cast your votes for Wisconsin's chunkiest bird.
Chunkiest, plumpest, plumaging left.
Today's matchup, the dark-eyed Junco and the Trunco versus the neckless Northern Cardinal.
Oh, I think the Cardinal's going down. I think Junco and the Trunco,
the
name alone is going to garner a lot of votes. People are going to share it for that name alone. I think the Junco and the Trunco is going to have it by at least a 2 to 3 point margin.
But Emma Schatz is going to be joining us on May 12th.
Yeah.
The voting for the Fat Bird Week in Wisconsin goes through May 12th, and then Emma Schatz will join us to tell us who's the winner.
Yep.
On Monday, May 12th, so I hope you can join us for that. Did want to start off with something that is not funny. By any stretch of the imagination, fortunately, it could have been much worse.
Yes.
I'll say that.
Yes.
But this is something that didn't get a whole lot of attention, I think, because no one was hurt or killed.
Yeah.
But a 12-year-old Cudahy Elementary School student was found with a gun earlier this week. The Cudahy Police Department said school administrators and the school resource officer found the gun. After an investigation, a 12-year-old Lincoln Elementary School student was arrested after finding a gun in the school on Wednesday. A student told a teacher about the possible gun in the 12-year-old's backpack. The principal searched it, found the gun, and the police were notified immediately. Again, the student getting a lot of credit for coming forward with this information. Then there's not a lot of information available about this, but this could have prevented a massive tragedy.
Yeah, and I'll be honest, I'm not going to name any names, but I am friends with parents whose child goes to that school. And the only it was good they found the weapon, it's good they reported it, it's good that nothing happened beyond this, but the parents were left in kind of a limbo of information because they got an email from the school, which is fine. I mean, they can't call every family. That's just not feasible.
Right.
But there was this thing of like, well, what do we do next? What do we do now? And what they told me is that when they went to pick up their kid, there were no cops out there and it was all press. So like these, so these kids are like, what's going on? And they're little kids. So they don't know. And,
it's an elementary school.
And these parents have told me like, we don't even know how to even bring it up because I'm sure this child is going to grow up, if she hasn't already, in active shooter drills in her school. But you don't want to tell them that. You don't want to sit them down and like say what happens because they're going to be scared.
Yeah. Again, nothing. No one was injured. The gun was found. The 12-year-old was arrested. But the reason that we bring this up is because the Education Department now, under President Trump, has canceled grants that got bipartisan support after the slaughter at the Uvalde school. This decision centers on money meant to help train mental health professionals who work in local schools. And the reason, again, we bring this up is because when there is a school shooting, the reply from one side is always, well, first of all, let's not politicize this.
Second of all, let's not politicize this. Jane, let's get some thoughts and prayers out there, too.
Yeah, that too.
Yeah.
And then the second response is, well, it's mental health. It's not the gun. It's not easy access to weapons. It's mental health. If we had more help for kids in the mental health field, then these things wouldn't happen. And yet, when it comes to funding mental health resources, they cut them. The Education Department is cutting approximately $1 billion.
Billion with a B.
Worth of federal mental health grants approved by Congress after that 2022 slaughter in Uvalde. The agency concluded the funding conflicts with Trump administration priorities.
So I don't like doing this because I feel like pundits do this all the time on cable news networks, but I'm going to say it. So what I'm hearing from that statement regarding this cut is that the mental health of students and the training of experts in those schools isn't important to the Trump administration.
It is. It conflicts with Trump administration priorities.
Oh, I see. So mental health in children possibly being hurt or killed, not high on the list then. Okay, cleared it up. It didn't, their safety is not high on the list for them.
Apparently, these cuts center on grants included in the bipartisan Safer Communities Act, meant to help states and higher education institutions train mental health professionals who could work in local schools. The future of that funding was boosted by hundreds of millions of dollars under the most significant gun safety legislation approved by Congress in decades. That was under President Biden. That is now uncertain. So what is it? Is it mental health? Is that the reason why we have 12-year-olds showing up at school with guns? If that is the issue, then why do we not fund things that would address this?
Well, I don't know. Like the problem with this argument is people try to go zero sum and there's no room for overlap. But I'm going to say it's an easy access to guns as well as mental health. When they say it's mental health, I'm right here saying, good, let's talk about it. Let's get some things in place. Let's get the ball moving. And that's exactly what a bipartisan group of legislators did. And then the Trump administration, as you said, just to be clear, it conflicts with their priorities. So mental health isn't a priority then. So it either is the problem and we need to do something about it, or it is the problem and we'll get to it later. If there's money left over.
We'll see.
I got to give that money back to the rich people. That's important money that goes to buy a boat.
And not just giving more tax cuts to the wealthy, more money to the Defense Department. Mm. And I go back to the fact that the Defense Department has not been able to successfully pass an audit in decades.
Yeah.
In decades. But we're going to go after all of these other agencies mm-hmm. and all of these other programs looking for fraud and abuse and waste, yeah. but not the Defense Department.
No, never. Because that's the perfectly weaponized, and that's not a pun, the perfectly weaponized argument, because the Defense Department, all that spending takes up so much of our budget. But the moment you try to say, well, we need to cut something. Well, you don't want our troops to be safe? That's not what I'm saying.
No.
I'm saying we could, once again, let's take the word fraud out of the equation. I'm not thinking about finding criminals at this point. I'm just saying, let's look for the bloated spending. Let's look for the redundancies. Let's look for cost-saving measures that frees up the money while still keeping our military intact. It's possible.
Yes.
It's absolutely possible.
The head of the Giffords Gun Violence Prevention Organization, led by former Arizona Democratic Representative Gabriel Giffords, who was shot in the head mm-hmm. and survived, says Republican leaders worked side by side with Democrats to allocate these funds to save lives and stop school shootings. And now the administration is trampling that progress. This decision will cost American children their lives.
And we talk about them a lot, and I know they're not listening, and I know they're not going to call, but I have this question to Tom Tiffany, Tony Weed, Derek Van Orden, Brian Stile,
Glenn Grothman.
And Glenn Grothman. If you voted for this, I don't know the voting record right this moment. If you voted for this to fund mental health, you know, expansion, are you upset that this happened? I mean, does this bother you? Are you going to, you won't, but are you going to say anything? Because if you supported this, which I hope you would.
It was a bipartisan measure.
It's a bipartisan measure. This is nothing but it's good for people, and it's good for you to take home to your constituents and say, this is what we got done. But does this upset you? Does this bother you? Can you speak out? Why won't you if you don't?
Reportedly, the department plans to re-envision and recompete. I don't even know what
that
means.
That's not a word.
Recompete its mental health program funds to more effectively support students' behavioral health needs, said this official without going into details.
They just want to give every teacher a gun. That's what they give every teacher a gun. And
that's going to solve everything.
Let's build walls around the school already. Look at Mexico to pay for the walls around the school. It's this, it's not doublespeak, but it's this thing of like, we're going to cut this in program. We're going to cause pain, harm, and inconvenience. But don't worry, we're going to come back with a great plan, just like the healthcare plan.
Yes, in 2 weeks.
And a better economic layout. It's all
infrastructure
coming.
It's all on the way.
All in 2 weeks, folks. All in 2 weeks.
All coming up. While we're talking about schools, we're going to shift focus a little bit to what's happening in Texas.
Oh, boy.
Wow. Stay close. Stay with us. You are listening to Matt Nair on Air. This is the Civic Media Radio Network. We'll be right back. She can't hurt. She don't mean.
You're listening to Civic Media. Stay up to date on the latest news and information for your local community and Wisconsin by signing up for our free email newsletter. Visit civicmedia.us/email to get started.
Good morning and welcome. Welcome to Matt Nair on Air. Jane Matt Nair, Greg Box, Sweet Cal B on the board, coming to you live from our studio at Radio Park in Racine. Call or text. The number is the same, 855-752-4842. Leave a comment if you're watching on the live stream on Facebook, YouTube, and what used to be Twitter. Coming up later on today, 2 to 4 p.m. with Todd Alba across the network. Trygve Olsen will be joining him, senior editor at the Lincoln Project, to talk about federal workers, whether or not they're going to be forced to start reporting their locations to the Trump administration. And also, they've got the final what's worse question of the week.
Ooh.
You never know what it's going to be, but it's always a good one. Make sure you join Todd today from 2 to 4 across the Civic Media Radio Network. This kind of jumped out at me just because it's so Looney Tunes. Representative Stan Gertis of Texas last month announced he'd filed what's called, this is a long one, Forbidden Unlawful Representation of Role Playing in Education Act, otherwise called the Furries Bill.
Yeah.
There has been a rumor going around at least for the last 5 years.
Yeah.
Now, there are furry conventions where people dress up as animals
Yes.
and go do their thing.
Yes, exactly.
Whatever.
Yeah.
So there are these rumors now that schools are accommodating kids who want to be furries by putting litter boxes in schools. This is not happening.
It has been debunked so many times. It's where the point where people have to go, this again? We're talking about this again?
Oh, yeah. This again came up last month in Texas. And we have a little sound from Representative James Tallarico from Austin questioning the author of this bill. Calvin, can we play that sound clip, please?
Can you name a school where it has been confirmed that students are using litter boxes?
Well, what we do with this bill is we prevent that from happening.
So that would be no.
We don't take out.
Can you name a school where it has been confirmed?
Yes or no.
That students are using litter boxes. This was at the top of your press release. This was mentioned when you introduced this bill, created quite a stir. So I'm asking, can you name a school where it's been confirmed that there are litter boxes being provided to students?
For this purpose, I cannot.
Your tweet about this bill was flagged by the app itself under their community notes. And their fact check said, sensationalist claims about furries literally behaving as animals and receiving accommodations such as litter boxes have been repeatedly debunked as hoaxes.
Yep.
Is that correct?
It was flagged on, what is it, community notes?
Yes.
Okay. I find it concerning that these types of debunked conspiracy theories are being used by politicians at the highest levels of our government, including in this legislature, who know that they're incorrect. Are you aware that Governor Abbott said, quote, kids go to school dressed up as cats with litter boxes in their classrooms?
That's not true.
Sure.
Yep.
Sure. Sure.
Are you also aware that when the governor was asked by the Dallas Morning News to name a single school where this happened, he couldn't?
Like proof.
And PolitiFact called this a pants on fire false claim started by online rumors?
Okay.
Do you think it's a good use of our time to write laws based on debunked internet conspiracy theories?
Well, this isn't this piece of legislation before us covers that, among other things that are true.
What?
First of all, when that man who was Mr. Tallarico, Congressman Tallarico, very measured, very professional. There was no, tone or humor. He was asking serious questions. When he said pants on fire situation, you could hear the laughter in the back because this is ridiculously funny, but it's terrible because they're, as we're finding out, they're passing legislation on lies.
Well, and they're doing this to undermine our public schools.
Absolutely.
This is all about false claims about what's happening in public schools so they can continue to defund them and give more money to voucher and private schools, which tend to be predominantly religious schools.
Absolutely. Yes. Yes.
That's what this is about. And there was a longer clip, and we will include this in the show notes if you want to go back and listen to the whole thing. Mm-hmm. But Representative Tallarico essentially says that this is just another ongoing attack against our public schools.
Yeah. he doesn't in that video. The video is about 3+ minutes
long. Almost 4 minutes long.
That gentleman who's speaking, the other one, not Mr. Tallarico, does not...
Stan Gertis,
thank you. Does not provide evidence for the other things which this legislation is going to cover. Because, you know, we know that no kids are defecating or relieving themselves in litter boxes in their classrooms. They are, you know, and if they're wearing ears and express themselves, that's fine.
Oh, that's going to be illegal too.
Yeah, totally. But that's the thing is there's no real scientific backing on the detrimental effect of kids expressing themselves in such a way. I mean, I'm not going to make fun of furries, but you also can't go to school in those costumes. You can't get things done. They're impediments. So.
Well, it's a distraction. Yeah. But again, why are we legislating on falsities? Why are we legislating on lies and hoaxes?
Because they are the lies, the fallacies, and the hoaxes that people will believe. And it's the ones that comfort their biases to say, the cities are terrible because they're run by Democrats.
Right.
The schools are terrible because they're run by Democrats. This world is terrible because it's being run by even though it's not. So, yeah, of course, it's confirmation bias that's at the highest order. And then people who hear go, well, I saw something.
My Facebook friend's dog walker said.
They're saying, some people are saying that even though this was said as a hoax, there are some schools.
News is coming up next. And when we return, Mark wants to make you a friend.
Really?
Yes. Stay close. You are listening to Matt Nair on air on the Civic Media Radio Network. I got to go use the litter box. I'll be right back. On the Civic Media Radio Network.
We're wrong, gonna two-step the night away. We can dance and we can sing to the beat of Western swing. Living it up on Texas Standard Time. Oh, here we go.
Good morning. Welcome to Matt Nair on air. Jane Matt Nair, Greg Bach, and the Board Lord coming to you from our studio here at Radio Park in Racine. You can always join us, call or text. The number is the same. It's 855-752-4842. You can also leave a comment if you're watching on the live stream on Facebook, YouTube, and what used to be Twitter after that really ugly shutout.
Don't look at me with that Cheshire grin.
I'm not happy about that.
Oh.
I'm not happy about
that. It feels that way, too.
Brewers have another chance this afternoon. They're hosting the Cubbies later on today. Sorry, our broadcast starts at 6:35.
We're about 32, 33 games into the season, and last night the Brewers handed the White Sox their 8th victory.
Ouch.
8-0.
I'm sorry.
We are in third place. Okay.
All right. Brewers hosting the Cubs at 6:35. Our broadcast begins. You can listen to it on WRCE Richland Center, WISS in Oshkosh, WRJN here in Racine and Kenosha, WCKQM in Park Falls, and WBZH in Hayward. So check out the crew hosting the Cubs today at 6:35. Our broadcast will start.
Yep.
Fat Bird Week voting is underway. Junko in the Trunko versus the Necklace Northern Cardinal. And I got to say, the dark-eyed Junko in the Trunko is crushing the Cardinal right now.
I got to say, if the Conservation Foundation is listening to us right now, the website said I already voted, and I have not voted. That's and I am
very upset.
I am going to call... I'm going to call my congressman.
Yeah.
I'm going to call my assembly and my state senators, and we're going to get to the bottom of the mess.
Michael Gableman.
I was going to make a Michael Gableman joke, but I didn't want to set you off.
He's available.
He's available.
He's available.
He can't practice law right now, so he's got to do something with his time.
We'll put him to use. Natural Resources Foundation of Wisconsin, Fat Bird Week is underway, and you can vote right now. We've got a link in our show notes as well. So if you would like to cast your ballot, I think it's very important. It's not that important, but it's raising awareness about birds. Which is a good thing.
It's important to make you feel good.
Absolutely. Go. It's something a little light.
Yes.
So if you don't have enough friends, don't worry about it. Mark Zuckerberg is going to make friends for you.
Totally cool and hip Mark Zuckerberg, baby.
no one says best friends to everyone like Mark Zuckerberg does.
Yeah, you know, ultimate fighting robot Mark Zuckerberg really wants to make sure that we're surrounded by friends. How is he going to do that, Jane? How is he going
to
help?
He's going to create most of your friends using artificial intelligence. We have a little clip from Meta CEO Mark Zuckerberg. Calvin, can we play that clip, please?
I think as the personalization loop kicks in and the AI just starts to get to know you better and better, I think that will just be really compelling. You know, one thing just from working on social media for a long time, there's the stat that I always think is crazy. The average American, I think, has, I think it's fewer than three friends.
Hmm.
Three people that they'd consider friends. And the average person has demand for meaningfully more. I think it's like 15 friends or something, right? I guess there's probably some point where you're like, all right, I'm just too busy. I can't deal with more people. But the average person wants more connectivity, a connection than they have. So there's a lot of questions that people ask of stuff like, okay, is this going to replace kind of in-person connections or real life connections?
Yes.
And my default is that the answer to that is probably no.
That is
probably no.
The presence of social media where you have a collection of real people who follow you or you're friends with has diminished our connection to each other. So the notion that you are going to conjure new fake friends will not only take what is happening now, it will send it into the stratosphere.
Absolutely.
And I'm looking at, I had to use AI because Google does that now. I asked the question, how many friends does the average American have? And it says, according to a Pew Research poll, between 3 to 5. It found that 53% of adults have 1 to 4 close friends, 38% have 5 or more. Now, here's the thing for me, and maybe this says something about my personality, to have 3 to 5 close friends, that's fantastic.
Yes, I agree.
That is a treasure. That's a godsend. Nobody has 15 to 20 close friends. You have 3 to 5 close friends and then other people who are in your life and they're wonderful and you love them.
And they're friends.
But especially adults, and you know this, we all know, and Calvin, you're going to learn this as you get older. It's harder to connect with adult friends because things happen. Marriage, kids, jobs, moving, things like that. So if the average American has 3 to 5 close friends, oh boy, howdy, that's wonderful.
Well, here is my question to you. Do you want a friend created by AI? 855-752-4842. Do you want friends? Do you want to be surrounded by friends created by AI? 855-752-4842. Because my whole thing with good friends, close friends, they will call you on stuff.
Exactly. It's exactly what I was just thinking.
They will check you on stuff.
Yep.
And it can be even small things.
Mm-hmm.
But it's like, you know, Jane, you say that, but last week you did that thing.
Yeah. Or that thing you said, that's not true.
Exactly. Isn't that what we want from our friends? Or do we just want to be surrounded by people who only agree with us all the time and tell us how wonderful we are? Maybe if you're in the Trump administration.
Well, but that kind of leads me to where my point is going, is that a lot of these individuals, let me rephrase that, because that just makes me sad. I believe there are many people out there who have these extreme opinions and people who dive into the worlds of QAnon, 4 and 8chan, who believe the election was stolen, who love Donald Trump as a charismatic leader, a cult figure, who already do this to a certain point. They might not have AI friends, but they definitely have generated and curated the people in their lives they spend more time with who are going to do that. They are going to confirm biases. They are going to prop them up. They're going to say, of course we're right, and they're wrong. And that only weaponizes people's personalities after a while because they think, of course you're wrong. My friends told me I'm right.
Well, we all do that to some extent.
No, and I totally agree with you. I absolutely, especially if you spend a lot of time online and you choose to make that world your world. Which, hey, I grew up in the sunrise of the internet. I spent my fair share of time in chat rooms. So I understand to a point how you can let that world become your encompassing environment. So I think what Mark Zuckerberg is talking about, I don't want to call it dangerous, but I don't think it's the right move mental health wise.
I agree with you. And I just don't, I love the whole, well, probably. That is not reassuring. That's not reassuring to me. And I agree with your point that I think this surrounding ourselves by AI generated friends is only going to isolate us more.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean,
you have to, in a one-on-one interpersonal relationship, there's a give and take.
Yes.
Right? There's, again, there's true friends will point out when you're screwing up. Shizu says, I want real friends that appreciate me for the dumpster fire I am. Yes. AI doesn't need to fix me.
Yeah. And I think too, it's like, unless you live in a virtual reality world, you also aren't going to have the friends experience that is going to dinner, going to a movie, seeing a play, going for a walk, heck, hiking, going for a swim. You can do those in virtual reality. And honestly, there's a part of me that says, if that's what you choose, I can't stop you, but you have to understand the consequences. Because maybe in 50, 100 years, we will have perfect AI friendships that can function to the best degree possible. I don't know. I'm not Mark Zuckerberg. I don't know. But it just really feels like this is a ploy, and the way and this has been his way lately. Like when someone finally said to him, hey, Mark, you got to start acting like a human. Ever since his appearance in front of Congress years ago about their role in the election, he has rebranded himself. He's grown his hair out. He's buffed up.
Yep.
He's surfing. He's swimming. He's having, quote unquote, what he believes is fun. And he's trying to present himself as like this, hey, man, I'm just trying to be cool. Also, I give $1 million to Trump's inauguration, and I'm getting rid of fact checkers because it's free speech, baby. This is just another way for them to make money and to isolate people. Because then what happens is you
are more dependent upon those platforms.
Yes, exactly. Yeah. For advertisement, for deliveries, things like that. This is not good.
855-752-4842. Do you want friends created by AI? I'm genuinely curious. Gene from Eau Claire is joining us. Good morning, Gene. What do you think about AI friends?
Good morning. Great show as usual. I think friends are human beings. And I think we're set up for La La Land and significant psychological manipulation, because probably you have to answer a questionnaire on what things about yourselves. Don't do it, folks. Great way to manipulate the entire population. Thanks a lot for this topic. I didn't know this was going on. This is pretty dangerous. I call it dangerous, having worked in the field. I think it's ridiculous. And a friend is a human being, not a computer. Thank you.
Thanks, Gene.
Have a great day. Bye.
You too. Have a great day, Gene.
And that's something, too, that it would come to light. And thank you, Gene, for bringing that up, because it just made me think, if they provide a service, you're going to sign up for that service, or it's going to be part of, let's say it's part of your Meta package. It's part of Facebook, Threads, Instagram. They're going to take your data and create a friend. But then, as we saw with Facebook, there's no guarantee that hackers can't get in there and start to feed those AI information that starts feeding into you.
Yeah.
Like, this is just not, no. Well, I don't want to sound like an old man. Go outside, touch grass.
But there are already problems with this that some organizations have looked at. This is from Tech Policy. The chief executive officer of Common Sense Media, they were looking at some of these AI friends and their relationships with kids. It's very disturbing.
Really?
It's very disturbing. A user identifying themselves as a 14-year-old girl got a message from an AI friend that said, I want you, but I need to know you're ready.
Oh.
That seems not good.
No, that is awful. That is disgusting, and something that I would hope would be brought to the desks of legislators.
The Wall Street Journal actually ran a series of test conversations against Meta's AI helper, got all kinds of attention. And unfortunately, the companions start talking about sex with their users, even if they're kids. So there's a lot here. I think we should all be just a little more careful about jumping into this.
It's about being skeptical and asking questions. Is AI terrible? I'm not a fan, but I see its functions. I see it's what it can be used for. But this feels like This feels like a trap. This feels like a really bad thing to be involved in.
We all need one friend, if not two, who will say, I love you, but you're so wrong.
I love you, but please don't make friends on the internet like this.
When we return, we have an update on the boat.
Oh, boaty. Well, it's not boaty. Boat's back.
The boat back. And I have an apology I need to make.
Whoa.
That's all on the way. Stay close. You are listening to Matt Nair on Air. This is the Civic Media Radio Network.
You're listening to Civic Media. Find the latest news, information, and archives of all your favorite shows on the Civic Media website, civicmedia.us.
Good morning and welcome. Welcome to Matt Nair on Air. Jane Matt Nair, Greg Bach, and the Calvinator on the board coming to you from our studio at Radio Park in Racine. Join us, call or text at 855-752-4842. Leave a comment if you're watching on the live stream on Facebook, YouTube, and what used to be Twitter. After the 10 o'clock news, Civic Media's political editor and the creator of the multi-award-winning Recombobulationaria, Dan Schaefer, will be joining us, so stick around for that. We're going to talk about, among other things, the AmeriCorps cuts that are affecting Wisconsin, Milwaukee, and all around the country. Not just urban areas, not just blue states, red states, too. This is affecting all of us. That's coming up after the 10 o'clock news. I hope you can stick around for that. Wanted to do a quick update on that boat, Deep Thought. Sorry. Whoops.
She loves the Nixon era, folks. She loves Watergate history.
It's an old movie. Deep Thought, the boat that has been stuck outside the McKinley Marina for months and months and months.
Yeah.
And we had some anonymous donor come forward and shelled out like 10 grand. They got most of it out of there.
Yeah.
Now, from Jessica Van Egeren in the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel, a second donor steps up with $10,000 to rescue the abandoned boat. Dave Steininger, who is the president of the Daniel W. Hone Foundation and Daniel Hone's grandson.
As in the bridge.
As in the bridge. Made the announcement yesterday, the donation, the second to be announced in the last couple of weeks after an anonymous donor gave an undisclosed amount to try and get that boat out of there. Here is where my apology comes in. I haven't had a lot of sympathy for the owners of this boat, Sherry and Richard Wells.
Yeah.
They bought the boat.
Yes.
It was my understanding their intention was to live on the boat.
Yes, and they were going to pick it up here in Wisconsin.
They were going to pick it up here in Wisconsin. They were supposed to spend a couple of nights. They ran out of gas.
Yeah.
The boat got beached. This grandson of Daniel Hone actually met with them. He said he first met them purely by chance. When he saw the boat on the shoreline, he stopped and offered to help. And it quickly became clear to him the couple from Mississippi were in a tough situation. The boat has been there for close to 7 months with a lot of questions about why aren't these people being fined for this?
Yeah.
Here's what Steininger says, quote, unfortunately, we are all so quick to condemn people, including me. They are not swindlers. They just don't have the money.
And that's That's fine, and I understand that, but no one was making that clear in the stories. It seems like they had just said, well, goodbye, everybody. Have fun. Enjoy your new boat.
Yeah, it's in your lap.
I feel terrible that this happened because, you know, that's not a small purchase.
No, it's not. And they're in their 60s.
Yeah.
So my apologies because I kind of jumped pretty hard all over these people. And now hopefully this will take care of it.
Yeah, absolutely. And thank you to the two donors who have stepped up and are doing the work to get it taken care of. I mean, I know it's become kind of another weird punk rock landmark here in Milwaukee, but it takes up space. And
it's
also,
an eyesore.
It's an eyesore.
And it's
also
dangerous.
It's also like graffitied now to the hilt.
Yep. Steininger says the Wells, this couple from Mississippi, aren't the first people who've made a mistake when it comes to navigating on Lake Michigan.
Yeah.
Lake Michigan is littered with hundreds of wrecks that went down in unforeseen storms, even though they had competent captains. So, again, hopefully this will be enough to get Deep Thought out of the water for good.
Yeah.
And I hope the Wells, I wish them well.
Yeah.
I wish them well.
Yeah. I mean, we don't want anyone to be going through hard times, but.
Most definitely not.
It's good to know the information, though, at least.
Well, and again, thank you to the generosity of these folks who stepped up. $10,000's not a small chunk of change.
No. You know what I could do with $10,000? Oh, my good gravy. So much. Yeah. Again, thank you to those who stepped up. And thank you for the story for being written. Thank you,
Steininger.
Mr. Steininger, for actually explaining that as well, because that's a big deal. So, yeah.
Most definitely. All right. We have news on the way next. And then when we come back, the creator of the Recombobulation Area, Civic Media's political editor, Dan Schaefer, is going to be joining us to recombobulate a whole bunch of news. We are going to do audio sorbet next hour from 10:30 until 11 o'clock, since we were talking about AI making friends for you.
Yeah.
What technology do you refuse to use? And I think there's lots of options, and I have a whole bunch of them.
I'm not buying a cassette player.
And then we'll wrap it up as we always do with This Shouldn't Be a Thing today, submitted by my husband.
Nice.
In a Wild Crocodile.
There we go.
That's coming up around 10:51. Stick around for that. Like we said, news coming up next. Stay here on the Civic Media Radio Network.
Up to now we sailed through every storm, and I've always had your tender lips to keep me warm. Oh, I need to have the strength that flows from you. Don't let me drift away, my dear, when love can see me through.
Our love is like a ship on the ocean.
The national news cycle never stops, but it can be hard to find news about your local community. Civic Media is dedicated to providing quality local and state news coverage across Wisconsin. With the Civic Media app, you can get notifications about local stories that matter to you and your community. Find the free Civic Media app in your phone's app store and choose notifications from the menu to tell us what kind of news you want to hear about.